You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 785 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. The Dressage Radio Show is the official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation. On today's show, we chat with FEI trainer Jordan LaPaca about the importance of mental health, balance, and physical strength of riders and how to prioritize the human side of the partnership and why caring for the rider should be viewed as essential, not optional. We also are joined by Mackenzie Peer, who reflects on her last 2 years riding and training in Germany. Finally, we discuss staying motivated through the winter months, exploring practical strategies for maintaining consistency, mental resilience, and off-the-horse strength when riding time is limited and motivation can be very hard to find. This episode is a powerful reminder that supporting the rider, mind, body is key to the successful and sustainable horse and rider partnership.
Welcome to the Dressage Radio Show.
This is Reese Koffler Stanfield in Wellington, Florida.
And I am Megan McIsaac in Marietta, California, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Hey, hi, Reese. Megan. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year. That was weird saying I'm in California. I don't know about you.
Oh, it's every year I'm like, it just happened. And then I'm always happy though when we go back to in April, in the spring, back to Kentucky for sure. But yes, hi, how was your trip? It looked amazing.
It was amazing, Reese. We did not have a horse, but we did have a trailer, and we went to 15 different sites. So I'm not sure any of them were better than the other. I mean, like the Royal Gorge Bridge in Colorado, it's 1,000 feet off the ground. Did you know Colorado had sand dunes? Because I didn't.
No.
Yeah.
No, but I could see it. I could see it, actually.
Yeah. 750 feet tall. I felt like I was in Saudi Arabia, which I've never been. But right. And then we went down to Taos, New Mexico, and Indians have lived there for 1,000 years, Reese. I had no idea.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah. The settlement is still there. I mean, it's incredible. And then we went over to Arizona and saw, of course, the Horseshoe Bend.
Love
the Four Corners, the Grand Canyon. But you know what? It wasn't the Skywalk that was most amazing to me. It's called Bat Guano. Okay, so it's Guano Point. And they actually traveled across the Grand Canyon, like on a little trolley thing, like a cable to get Bat Guano.
No, I can tell you right now. I'm afraid of heights. There's no way. I'd have been like, let me know what it looks like. Take a picture.
Stop. I did. It was insane. And then, of course, we went to Vegas and we did. Matt Franco, amazing. And AV ended up on the stage.
Stop it. Oh, no, I did not see this picture. I got to get a picture later. Oh, my gosh.
I'll send it to you. I mean, it was a week-long trip. So glad we did it. But actually, one of my favorite stops was Death Valley all places. And we had landed in a casino. It's called the Long Street Inn. I highly recommend for everyone to go.
They did send me this picture.
I know. They let a cat in the casino, and he's lived there for 11 years, and he walks all over the little, I don't know what you call them, boxes, the bar, like where you're gambling. I'm not a gambler, amazing. You can tell. And then I got to put on a showgirl outfit with the feathers.
Get out. You did not tell me this fun stuff. And then we talked the whole time. How did you miss this?
I sent you that picture. Although we did have bad reception, I'm sending it to you now. So
I can't wait.
Yeah. And then we got here, we're settled in, the horse comes soon, and yeah, the fun begins. And how about you?
Gosh. Well, I have to give a big shout out to Lauren White, one of my students. She offered, no one offers to want to come to Florida. She said, no, I'll come with you. I'll drive with you. And so we had a blast. Like, she was wonderful. We got here a couple days ahead of the horses. So we got to see, there's the sandy tree in West Palm Beach, which is literally a tree of sand. So we went down there and they had like a Christmas, kind of American Christmas market that we walked around. Aww. That was so fun. And then the horses got here. And I mean, I'm going to knock on wood, but it was a pretty gentle landing. We came back to the same farm. And so, you know, my dog knows it. It's my same little apartment that I love. Aww. So it was great. Like, it was so nice. And we're, you know, we had the holidays. And I don't know about you. We're recording on Monday the 5th. And I'm just happy to like be back, like trying to find a routine. Like, I enjoyed the holidays. My husband was here for a week. And I mean, we don't get that opportunity very often to have just a week of, you know, like, he would go to the gym in the morning and I would do the horses and what, and then we would just spend the evening and afternoon together. Sometimes it was going to the beach. Sometimes it was watching, you know, the football games. It was just really fun and organic. And we didn't have quite as big an adventure as you guys did, but it was really nice to have that time. So yeah, but I'm here. I'm super excited. You know, again, today's like the first day where I'm like, I can kind of visualize my schedule, but I'm excited. I've already seen some friends and it's the first CDIs this week. So there's all these things that are already starting to happen, which is wonderful. So really, really looking forward to that. So yeah, I'm like you. I'm just excited for the year and just to use this time to, you know, refill my pot and get healthier. You know, I've had some PT issues with my knee and I have a new PT that I'm working with down here. I'm excited. We had our first session today and I already feel better. So yeah, just that kind of stuff. And it's really fun. So I ran into Jordan LaPlaca. He's coming on the show here tonight. I ran into him and we were chatting and I said, I need to have you on the show. Like, and it's so fun to do all that and just kind of be a part of things again. So really, really excited about the season. And we will be chronicling for everybody what's going on. Megan, what's coming up? Because the USDF Trainers Conference is in a couple weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. It's happening. So the USDF Trainers Conference is in Loxahatchee, Florida on January 19th through the 20th.
Yes. And so we have Heike Kemmer and Christoph Umbach, who are our presenters. And I think these guys are great. Megan, can you tell us a little bit about each of the presenters?
Yes, Reese. Heike Kemmer is a 2-time Olympic gold medalist. And Christoph is a top level judge. And they will be at Marianne McPhail's High Meadow Farm on January 19th through the 20th.
Yeah. And Heike Kemmer has been a part of the German team for years. And Christoph Umbach is a 5-star judge. So I think it's going to be really fun between the judging and the trainers aspect. And also just the trainers conference is kind of what we've been talking about, is time for us as a community to sit down and chat, and people, you know, it's so fun. People get come down and visit us and it's a great time to be here. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing everybody, and definitely come see me. I'm still trying to get Megan to come, everybody. But send her a message and we'll get her to come. But you know, it could be a really, really good time. So looking forward to that. That's one of the things that's coming up, and we will continue. USDF has got some fun new programs that we will talk about. That's one of our yearly things of what's going on at USDF. So we'll have that in the next couple shows. But we're really looking forward to Trainers Conference and seeing everybody there. Well, after this commercial break from Kentucky Performance Products, we're coming back with a great interview from Jordan LaPlaca.
Does your performance horse have sore, stiff muscles? Does he lack energy or tire quickly during exercise? Does his competition schedule require travel? Studies show that these horses, in regular training and those with limited access to pasture, often require additional vitamin E. They also show that horses being trailered even short distances can face immunity challenges. Elevate Natural Vitamin E can help. A research-proven, powerful antioxidant, Elevate maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune functions. It does this by delivering a highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is preferentially absorbed and retained in a horse's tissues. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974.
Well, for our first show of the year, I am so excited to have a friend of ours on, FEI rider and trainer, Jordan LaPaca. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be on the show again.
Well, we're so happy to have you back on because you have an amazing topic. We saw each other. We were working here in Wellington this last week together, and you had an amazing topic that I grabbed you right away and said, I really want you to come on the podcast and talk with Megan and I about this. I think this is super important. So first of all, Jordan, tell us a little bit about yourself again, and then we'll get into our topic.
So I am a crazy horse person, like everyone else in our industry. My wife and I are down here in Wellington half the year and spend the other half in Connecticut. We have a wonderful group of dogs and ponies, and we're just doing our best to make a really good go of whatever this dream is we're all chasing. So
yeah, what we're doing. Well, I think you're doing a wonderful job, but you and I had a great discussion. And Megan, I mean, we all met at a wonderful conference. This happened years ago. It was called the Young Dressage Horse Trainers Conference. And I think it so shaped us as a community and having friends and other professionals. This doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately, but you, all three of us became friends in that. And you had a great idea of what we should be talking about this year as the year starts. So can you kind of tell our listeners about that?
Sure. So something that I've, as a individual, started to take a real ownership of is the, not just mental health, but the mental ownership of my mental health with not just the business, but as a competitor and a trainer and, you know, finding that balance between there's so much focus on the horses, but so often the people that are associated with the horses are left, you know, in limbo. So it's finding this balance of, you know, when the pendulum is really swinging, when it's good, it's good. And when it's bad, it's not so good. And we've all had these experiences. So trying to find that medium balance ground of how to stay grounded through the highs and lows.
When we talk about performance in dressage, so the main focus is always on the horse. Why do you think the human side is so overlooked?
I think a lot of it comes from an imbalance of the perspective of what we're trying to do. Unfortunately, this is, again, my opinion. So I don't expect everyone to agree with this, but I don't believe dressage originally was supposed to ever be a business. I think it was supposed to be an art form. And so, you know, money drives a lot of what we do, unfortunately, and we all have to make a living. But the sad part for me is that as the horses have gained greater value, so has the drive to produce more and more out of them. And the people have sort of taken a back burner to this. And then you have the horse welfare and all the important things as horsemen that we should be doing in general. You know, I mean, that should never change, to take care of our horses. But when the industry side of it takes over, I think the people become the commodity that is so easily switched because there's someone else in the back ready to come forward and take over if something goes wrong. And I think the sad part is we forget to be a team in this business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree.
We 100%.
That the common love of the horse is what brought us all together in the first place. And then we find ourselves trying to balance out, how do I make a business of this? How do I make the bills pay? Mm-hmm. How do I get that horse where it needs to go? And then, you know, if you're not privileged enough to have a sponsor or someone funding it, you know, these are real issues that affect the way we are treated by our peers and by the industry as a whole.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, I think you can look at multiple things, right? You have your team at the barn, your grooms and your trainers. And I think let's just talk about that for a second for us, right? Maybe, you know, talking about the grooms to start with, because a lot of times I have young women that are working their hearts out, right? They are there. They are working for me. I try very hard to pay a living wage, right? That's really important to me. And I try very hard to provide housing for the horse if I can. You know, try to do what I can, right? But kind of going back to, right, the finances are our big deal. And I think that the three of us are very lucky. We're able to provide a living wage for the people that we live and work with us. But I think a lot of people that I see sometimes, they are not able to have a living wage, right? And I think that's one thing that we as an industry have to talk about, right?
Absolutely. And also, I think, you know, Reese, what's really important to think about is the generations have changed. I mean, back when we were younger and starting out, we were hungry and willing to do whatever we needed to do to get the miles on the horses. You know, we would do the stalls, we would do anything that was required. And now there's a shift where that ethic and that drive is not really the focus. It's the performance focus. And so we have this weird gap in generations of the old, I don't want to say old school, but the older thinking of working your way up from the ground, being handed now the opportunity to do something. And that's great in some ways, but as a lifer in horses, and I think all of us are lifers, you know, I don't ever feel bad about going through what I went through to get to where I am today. Do I wish some of the experiences were better? Sure. But it taught me the work ethic and the drive and the fact that that spark is still there. And I'm, you know, 30 years still doing it. And then I'm still at it.
Yes,
you
know? Here we are. All of us are here working hard, doing all the things.
Chipping away at it.
All the things, which is, you know, yes, we're all of us are lucky to be in either South Florida or California, right? But it took us a long time to be able to make it here to do this. And then I think, you know, kind of moving toward the trainer aspect, right? I think all of us, and it happened totally organically yesterday here in Wellington. My clients just got arrived. This was, and they're absolutely the most wonderful people. It just is easy to do it. And my client said, oh, we need to text the farrier about the horse. The horse needs to get her feet done. And I said to the farrier, I said, you know what? It's Sunday at 5 o'clock. And I'm gonna put a note on the board and I will text the farrier tomorrow. He actually takes Sunday off. And so I can text him on Monday. And I said, you know, it's 5 o'clock on a Sunday. I know it's hard because we just got here. And she's like, oh my God, I totally forgot it's Sunday. And it's just little things like that. I'm not going to text my farrier on a Sunday afternoon. Just not, unless it's a dire emergency, which this was not, right? And I think just reminding that client, like, oh, wait, it's Sunday, you know? But I think that's important to remember when it comes to any professional that is in this industry. Wouldn't you say, guys?
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Oh yeah. I think another huge thing, too, is also investing in ourselves. Whether that's a lesson for me, it's actually going to California. I mean, it's a huge investment, but this time is mainly about me and furthering my education. And I think that keeps me going. You know, I'm like, ooh, what are we going to do next? You know, I think that's so important.
100%.
And Jordan, what do you do for yourself that way for moving forward?
So this has been sort of a very tricky journey for myself because, you know, I'm the personality that, you know, I have a business, I have employees, I have, you know, all these horses, all the things that I have to be responsible for, that I'm always the one on the back burner. And sort of from this fall to this new season, I've started to really take charge of the fact that, you know, I've been doing this in the wilderness for so long that I really actually need some help. And admitting the fact that I'm tired, I don't want to do this by myself anymore. And not in reference to not having help, but having mental help or a coach.
Yeah.
Something I've done recently this year is I've started seeing and working with a high performance coach. We meet weekly. He gives me incredible tools and things as an athlete to work on for my mental health,
I've also started with a personal trainer so that I'm taking over not just riding horses, but doing something different to help my body to be the best for the horses. All things I used to think were like, that's for, you know, wusses and I can't do this. I'm going to be strong and plow through this. But my goodness, the change it's made already in such a short amount of time has given me sort of mental clarity and peace at what I'm doing and realizing that we really are, you guys, I'm going to laugh at this, but we're in a first world problem. So,
yes. Oh yeah.
Yes, this, absolutely.
This is okay. Like it is okay.
Yes. Yes. And I think that that's so important because not only is it financial, there's a financial investment there, right, in yourself, but there's also time where you have to stop and say, from this time to this time, I'm going to go work with my trainer and I'm going to work on my body and I'm going to work on, you know, I think that that's so important as we kind of are moving into the new year, right? Like, I don't know about you guys, but I also use Wellington a little bit of a time to reset. And, you know, and I do, and Jordan, we were talking about this before. It's like, why is it the new year that but I feel like I come to Florida kind of in January and I reset while I'm here. And then I go back up north and I love, love, love my home in Kentucky. But it's not, I have more students at home. I run a farm here. I rent a farm, you know, the water broke the other day and I made a call, you know, at home, I'm the one dealing with it, you know? And so I think it is a time that I use to reset a little bit and relook at my priorities. And I'm also doing physical therapy because I've got some physical therapy things that I have to do and like really focusing on that kind of stuff so that I am healthier for my horses and my students and my employees and all the other things that I do.
Yeah, I think that's
so important. I think that that's so important.
So important.
And I want to add in another just because, you know, I've been doing a lot of the business coaching and consulting for professionals, not just young, every age, right? And it's the same kind of thing, right? It's like getting a coach. A lot of the times I'm helping barn owners and trainers and riders, not just dressage. It's I've done kind of all disciplines, but there's an aspect of having a healthy financial business, right? And having actually leads to better mental health, better care of the horses. And so one of the things I was talking, just texting with one of my kind of clients today, and I said, you know, now I'm really also trying once a week that I have an office time. And that's not time that I can say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. No, no, no. That's from 2 to 4 or 2 to 3 on Monday is my office time. And because I'm also working on the mental health of my business and how I'm doing with that. You know, Megan, I know you're also doing this. You guys talk about that because I think that's an important part that is missing for a lot of professionals in this industry.
Oh, it's huge. I like to block off time just like you, Reese, for my business. But what I've been doing lately is actually getting out of the dressage arena. And I've been this trip to California, like I didn't have a horse in the trailer and I saw all the national parks. And which I never would do.
And
I've also taken dance lessons with my fiance. What about you, Jordan?
I think, you know, there's a lot of things that we do. Like my wife and I have our dogs and our dog time is really special. You know, something totally anti-horsey almost, you know, like trying to just recharge so that when you come back to work and have to start up again, you're fresh and not just constantly drained because, oh my gosh, I have to sit on this horse again or blah, 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 blah. Like you both said, it's so important to make the priority to take time out of your week for yourself, because if yourself is not at its best, how are we able to produce something clients want? And nobody really talks about that, you know?
No, never has it come up really, you know,
never. Shut up. No one cares. Work harder. You know, it's like, yeah, I agree with that to a degree, but at some point you kind of need a break.
we really do. And I think that's what I miss so much about Young Horse is we would all come together and I really realize we all have the same issues, right? And to be able to have that freedom to discuss and like, how do you work through it, Reese? How do you work through it, Jordan? I think is so important finding community.
Absolutely. And Reese, yeah. I think this touches on what you said about coming to Florida to like recharge a little bit. You know, I think the allurement to California, Wellington, or getting out of where you are normally for a period of time, the allurement is being with colleagues and finding yes. like-minded people that you can be encouraged by. And, you know, I love going, for me, you know, just to keep this short and simple, I love the idea of being the perpetual student, you know, and yes. I love being challenged by people better than me and around me. And, oh my gosh, I've never heard that before. Like, how do I teach somebody this that I've been teaching for 20 billion times the same yes. lesson and nothing's mm-hmm. changing, you know, but mm-hmm. I hear it differently by auditing this or that. Yeah. I think these are important opportunities for us professionals to give back to our clients and ultimately back to the industry. And people don't realize that if we don't take this time to refresh ourselves, rebalance ourselves, we're not going to be able to be the best at giving back for what people are paying yes. for ultimately, right?
Yes.
You know, so I've explained this to my clients that, you know, when I say, hey, this period of time when I'm writing or I'm auditing or something, the phone's off. I can't talk. Like, this is important. It has a full circle effect because it ultimately comes back to them in a very beneficial way when we take care of ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, guys, I'm just sitting here and I'm listening. And you know, again, we have kind of have this common, we went to this conference, we kind of have this feeling, right? What would your advice be, Jordan? And Megan, I'm going to ask you the same question. To a young professional that's listening to this up north, right? They're not in Wellington. They're hearing, they're like, oh my God, like, how can I ever? What are some ways that these young professionals can help themselves? I think this is something that you know, go for it, Jordan.
I think this is huge. And Megan, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in because it's like it popped right out, right? So one of the things for me that is so important is this very silly slogan that they have at like Planet Fitness where it's a judgment-free zone. Yeah. But it hit me really hard. Like, I think for young people and young professionals, there needs to be this understanding that those of us that have trudged through the swamp and are still trudging through the swamp.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. And there's a lot of judgment and there's a lot of misunderstandings of what's expected of you. And there's no one there guiding you through this. So you start as a sort of an unbridled young person, conjuring up all of what you think the expectation is, because of the ignorance of youth and experience. And then you start to make yourself nuts and crazy when the reality is this is a long journey that takes many yes. years to refine and get better with. And there needs to be this judgment-free zone. There needs yes. to be this humility of being a perpetual student. There also, I think, is so often missed this idea that, again, I think we talked about this earlier on, we're all on the same team. We're all at different yes. journeys on the team.
Yes.
But the common goal is to make better riders, to make better horses. So where does that balance go? You know, like, I think yeah. everyone needs to realize it takes time. And if you don't have that in your soul to understand the time that it requires, it's probably not the best sport for you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love that. Megan, what would your advice be?
I love what Jordan said, but I would add on, because I'm from Wisconsin, and yeah. I think for everyone, I think it's a lonely journey. I think our sport is lonely. You know, it's not a team. It is with our horse. And my advice would be, make sure you pick a good mentor, number one. And if yes. it isn't going well, move on. I wish I had moved on sooner. And two, collect all the friends you can. Make a yes. huge network. I think I myself stayed in the woods too long.
Yeah.
And yeah. which is good and bad, right? You know, because you work through your self-development that way. But I'm really bad at picking up the phone and I wish I was better. And I'm now doing that in my later years. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone. Whoever it is.
I forced her. Now she has to talk to me.
You did. And thank you. You know, thank you. And that's what Young Horse was for me. It was really eye-opening to see my competitors, which are now my friends, are just like me and are struggling through the same things, and we can help each other.
Yeah.
So Reese, I want to add something really quickly to this, because I think it ties in really well to what Megan just said.
Please.
I wrote this down because it was really, it hit me. I go, as with all things, a balance is always really hard to find, but with riders for today, like we as professionals, as we're out there today, we don't realize the inspiration that we are for the riders for tomorrow. So we're not presenting a good example of mental health and picking up the phone and being honest with each other and seeking, you know, that camaraderie. We don't realize that the people we become affects those that are looking up to us. And if we're not being those people that should be looked up to in a high standard, we're sending the wrong message.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. No, and I totally think agree. You're right. I think that that's so important to do. And I think, again, the three of us willing to be mentors, like we want to help and we want to mentor. 100%. And, you know, I mean, if you don't, there's tons of people out there. And like you said, Megan, if you don't have someone, find someone else. There are plenty of people. And now, you know, with the internet and with virtual lessons, I mean, you know, all of it, you can find someone. And if someone doesn't, move on and find someone else. I think that that's so important. And, you know, I think it is important to, you know, come to, you know, the trainers conference or come to Wellington and see a CDI if you can, you know, carve out that time. Or if you can't, Friday Night Lights is streamed, you know, compliment. I think it's free on, you know, you can find it, Clip My Horse or whatever, you know, get together, have a friend, watch Friday Night Lights. That's a great way to do it here. Or put on something in Europe and sit down. And we always have, you know, drink margaritas and have tacos and watch dressage. I mean, even stuff like that, just to watch the best riders in the world, it's free. It's not that you have to be in Wellington to see it. Actually, sometimes you see it better on Friday on the live stream. But you know what I'm saying? Like, but you have to carve out that time to say, this is for me. And this is important, right? And I think the three of us, we all have other things outside of the business, which is important. And I think that's incredibly important. But I think just start small. You know, number one, maybe just start with an activity or start with something to help, or read a book or whatever is fun for you. You can do it fun. Remember, that's why we ride horses and we have horses. And it's cold and rainy and gross, you know, come watch Wellington, you know, or come see it if you can't come, or come down here and see, or California, or wherever you choose to go. And I think that's the start. And I hope that as we move forward into a new year, and again, I'm with you, Jordan, it's like, why do we wait to the new year? But I always wait to the new year. And I'm like, okay, this is the year I'm gonna. But I started my new journey differently this year. I listened to a podcast. You know, I listened to Jay Shetty. He's a great podcaster on health. I mean, there's so much out there. And I'm with you, Megan. I listen to a lot of podcasts because I'm out here by myself, you know. And I like listening to things like that. But it was start small. Start with 5 minutes. So if I want to get better at working out, start with 5 minutes and then 10 minutes and then maybe an extra walk around the block or whatever. But you know what I'm saying. And if you miss a day, don't kill yourself. Just know, okay, well, tomorrow is another day. I'll start again. And I thought that really resonated with me. But I do think we need to continue this discussion, Jordan. I'm glad you said something to me. Again, here we were just reconnecting, you know, after, of course, we know each other, but it was a little bit of a calmer environment. We had a couple minutes just to chat, and that was so nice. And just remembering that this is what we can bring to the next group as we move forward. So Jordan, thank you so much. I know you're going to keep this discussion going. We would love to keep the discussion going, but if our listeners want to find you online, how do they do that?
So I'm on social media, Jordan LaPlaca on Facebook, and then maverickhilldressage.com if people want to connect with me that way. And I think this is a topic to be continued for sure. And thank you, Reese, so much for snatching me and saying, hey, let's
like, we're doing this, but let's keep the discussion going. Maybe in another couple months, we'll reach back out and see how we're all doing and, you know, any good stories. So please feel free to reach out to any one of us and we would be happy to mentor and enjoy the opportunity.
Can I say one last thing?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to just say that, you know what? I think one of the most important things for young riders and professionals is if you have this dream and this fire in you, don't let anyone squish that, you know.
That's right.
Just let whatever your spark was ignited by guide you, you know. Don't be dimmed by the dauntingness of it. Small steps, like you said, Reese, take small steps in your New Year's resolutions. Do the little things to build for the big picture. You know, we're not riding horses for today. We're riding horses for the future. So, you know, remember your light, find it and follow it. And in the end, be good to yourself, be good to yourself, be good to the people around you. And ultimately you'll be good to your horse and good things will happen.
Love it. Thank you so much, sir. So appreciate you. And, good and best of luck in 2026.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Well, tonight we are so happy to have back in America after a tour in Germany training and riding Mackenzie Pierre. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
I know, Mackenzie, we're on a new show of goals and training. So first of all, my friend, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Right. So I am 24. I'm a dressage rider and trainer. I've been riding horses since I was 2, but I started dressage around 10 years old and just kind of caught the bug and never stopped. So now I ride full time and I've been now all over the world. And I just love it. And I love the horses. And my goal is really just to make every horse the best that I can and see where that takes me.
Well, I love it.
I want to know what motivated you to pack up everything and move to Germany.
Well, I was riding and training in Wellington, and I was based at the Helgstrand Sale Stable in Wellington. And I just kind of thought, you know, I want to see Europe. I want to see the barns there. I want to just get better and learn everything I can. And they do it, you know, a little bit different there. So I thought that's a good way to kind of expand my knowledge and my wheelbase. So I moved to England first. That was kind of a stepping stone. And I rode there for about 6 months. And then having met Ulf working for Helgstrand in Wellington, he then was looking for a rider and he called me and said, hey, you know, I'd really like you to come ride for me in Germany. What are you doing? And I said, well, I'm actually here in Europe, so that's not too far away and I would love to. So I packed up from England and I moved to Germany and did not look back.
Oh my gosh. And how long were you in Germany?
I was there for about a year and a half. So I spent almost 2 years in Europe in total.
Wow. What were your biggest expectations going in? And what surprised you the most once you were in the meat of it?
You know, I can't say I had the biggest expectations other than I just really wanted to learn the German way. And so I can't say that, like, oh, I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. But while I was there, I kind of took it day by day and ride by ride and kind of grew goals as I was there and saw what I could do. So I rode in my first stallion show and then again, and just that. So that was unbelievable and what an experience. And I can't say that that was really a goal going in, but I am so glad that I did it. And After that, then there was the Bundeschampionat. Actually, when I was still riding in Wellington, Ulf had told me, you know, that he wanted me to come to Germany and he wanted me to ride in that competition for him.
Yes.
So that was always a little bit in the back of my mind of that would be such a cool thing to do and such an experience. So then to have actually done it, that was really unbelievable and definitely something that I got to kind of tick off the bucket list.
And not too many Americans have done it.
No, I was the only American at
Randy Roenick.
Yes, I do. And she was there. She did not compete in it this past year. I was the only American, but yeah, it's definitely not easy. And it's not something that very many Americans do.
Wow. Congratulations. It's a huge honor. Can you, just for people in America, we don't really have stallion shows. Explain what the stallion shows are for because we don't really have that.
Right. So breeding is such a big thing in Germany. So we kind of just, you know, they'll have different licensing with stallion shows. So kind of all of the Oldenburg stallions will go to a show. And if you want to, you know, breed to an Oldenburg, you can kind of see all of the options that you have there. Or if, you know, if you want a Hanoverian, you can go to the Hanover stallion show. We have then like the Helgstrand Schockemöller stallion show, which means we take most or some or lots of our stallions from Helgstrand and Schockemöller and put them kind of into one big show so that breeders or just people that are curious can go and watch all of these stallions in person and see if they like them or what kind of things they might like to use for their mare for breeding.
Yes. Yes. So it's an amazing thing. And that is something you see that's different.
Yeah.
And tell us too, what's it like? The competitions are also different there, right? Tell us a little bit about competitions in Europe.
Yeah, so they are, I mean, they just have so many more competitions, just so many options. And they are a little bit different. They, to me, it almost felt more relaxed in a way that they do it so often and they all kind of grow up with that there, that it's just like we'll go down the street and go to this competition. And it's a really like chill vibe, which I really loved. But at the same time, you know, you can go, you're going to these huge competitions, like the Bundeschampionat for me, it was a huge thing. But just being there, everybody was so nice. And it is a very relaxed feel versus like competing at Wellington. You feel all this atmosphere and this pressure there that I just didn't have that in Germany, which I really liked.
Wow, how cool. And what was it a normal day like for you?
So I had just an amazing schedule. I lived on property at the barn. And so I got to kind of wake up and walk out to my horses. And I had very lovely groom, Eileen, who would kind of help me all day. So I would usually make my first horse ready myself. And then I would just start riding. And I just rode and rode and rode until we would take a lunch break at 1:00 and we would all kind of sit down and eat lunch together. We had a chef that would cook just fantastic meals. So that was very lucky to have. And we would just kind of talk about all sorts of things, horses and competitions and things that we wanted to do or things that we needed to change with the horses. And then after lunch, we would go back to riding and finish up any last horses until 5:00. And then we were done for the day.
Yeah. And that's pretty common in Europe, actually, is the meals where people sit down and have a meal. That's not something you see in American barns at all.
Very seriously, which coming from America, you know, we don't do that. Lunch breaks are unheard of here. It was a really nice change for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That is something different. Tell us, I mean, any other things that you found that you liked different than Europe?
Oh, I just, you know, it's a little bit of a different way that they think of the horses, you know, because it's a little bit more common to grow up with the horses there. You know, they start so much younger than, you know, they have these riding schools and the kids just go and they learn everything. And I wish we could foster that a little bit better in America to help the youth, because I think that's part of the thing that makes the sport a little bit better in Germany and in Europe as a whole, is they really foster it for everybody and they help their kids and they teach them more of the basics and you know, from the beginning and to train your own horse, whereas in America, it's not quite like that. We're so big, it's hard to have that concentration like they have in Germany.
Right. In basically in every village, there's a riding stable.
Right.
Exactly. Essentially. Or pretty close. Like when I was there, it was a couple 20 years ago, but there were riding stables and kids would go there after school.
Exactly. And
there's a federation. The trainers are all licensed through the federation to work there. You have to be to work in Germany, you have to have a license essentially. And so you would go and every town had ponies and horses and it's really economical. You know, it's because it's just a different structure and it can be. I mean, here, you know, keeping a horse is just more expensive than over there, but it's also sponsored by the state.
Right. And they, you know, they have their state stallion studs where then you can breed. It's just cheaper overall. You can breed your own horse to the state stallion studs and they keep the cost low. And it's just more of a community thing. Whereas, you know, in just America, it's a little bit more elitist and that makes it harder for everyone to join and be a part of and to foster the kids learning more about it just from the start.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually the parents was one of your parent would have had some riding experience, right? Or had somebody or knew somebody. So it's definitely more part of the culture than it is for us. So that is something that's very different than we have.
Yeah. For sure.
And do you have any funny stories outside of the barn? Like, because our cultures are so different. So I don't know, any fun things that you ventured out and saw?
You know, we, the girls that I worked at the barn with, Leonie and Hannah and Victoria, we were all quite close and we would go out and do things all the time. My favorite was when we had the Christmas market.
Oh, my too. They're the best.
The Christmas markets and drink blue wine. And
Explain the Christmas market. If you haven't, it's like a craft. It's like a,
it's kind of market. A farmer's market on steroids.
Meets and Christmas meets. Yeah, it's crazy. Everybody goes in the town and there's this Glühwein, which is like a hot mulled wine.
Yeah.
You walk around and drink your Glühwein and you buy like little gifts and presents, but they're not like catchy. Like they're like somebody's grandma made tablecloth, you know? I mean, it's amazing. So yeah, I'm with you. I loved the Christmas markets.
Yeah. So that was maybe one of my favorite things outside of the horses was just, you know, seeing everybody come together and we would huddle around our little fire and drink the Glühwein and warm our hands up. And so that was maybe not so funny, but it was really a fun experience and really helped me to see kind of the German culture and appreciate that and how seriously they kind of take their community vibes and you know, just kind of the history of those.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. So Mackenzie, you're back in America. What's your next move, my friend?
Yeah, so I just moved to Oregon right outside of Portland. And I am now riding for Sonnenberg Farm.
Whoa.
Fun.
Congratulations.
I got a call from Gina while I was still in Germany, kind of looking for my next move. And she said, hey, we're looking for a rider. What are you doing? And I was like, wow. The timing could not have worked out better. So, yeah, I kind of packed up and here I am now in Oregon.
I love it. Well, my friend, we will be watching you and we just want to wish you congratulations and thank you for coming on and sharing our story. Yeah. And, you know, goals can happen. And you are a hard worker, clearly an amazing rider, and have caught the eye of some really great trainers and places, and we just can't wait to watch and see what you do. So congratulations.
I'm super excited to be back and kind of share some of the things that I've learned and hopefully develop something really special here with Sonnenberg.
I love it. Well, my friend, how can we find you online?
Right. So my Instagram, it's just @Mackenzie_Peer. And I try to stay pretty active there and share kind of what I'm doing. And I also have a Facebook, which is also just Mackenzie Peer.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you on your journey.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year, guys.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there. stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere, you can make the journey knowing that US Rider is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with US Rider's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usrider.org.
Well, Megan, we are bringing back a little bit the trainer tip of the week. We used to do this for many years, but we really have an important tip we wanted to talk about. So what is our kind of tip or discussion that we're starting off the year with?
How do you maintain your winter riding goals? I think this is a great topic, even for people who are in Florida or California. I know the colder temperature, it's even cold here. I know it was cold in Florida. Yes, it's all relative, but I think it's really important. Number one that they talked about was set realistic winter horse riding goals. It doesn't matter where you're at, whether it's Florida, is the CDI the right thing to be doing, or is it a national level, or is it I ride three times a week? And that's really hard in a colder state when it's 10 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that that's important, right? Like set whatever your goals are. And this is kind of our beginning of the year show, right? And I think we can all say that we have goals for each horse. And I think that's important too, when you, with any goal setting, that it's realistic. Like I'd love to say, I'm going to go work out every day and get a body like that.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. It's not like, but I can say, you know what? I think every day I'm going to do like this little video, it's 8 minutes and I'm going to start with 8 minutes. And then when I can do that consistently, then I'll go to maybe a 20 minute thing. But I think it's the same with riding, right? Like, you know, again, to say, well, you know, if your horse isn't strong enough or hasn't been working, it's hard to say, well, I'm going to ride him 6 days a week and we're going to be ready, you know, for third level. Right. It may be, you know what, let's ride for the 3 days a week. Let's be really balanced and organized and have a really good plan. And my goal is working toward third level, but let's start off. Can I achieve training level? And I think, scale, right?
I think that is so smart. One of my goals this winter is actually to go on the USDF website and to watch a video once a week. You know, there's so much education on the USDF website that we really don't utilize. And I know about, and I find myself slacking. So I'm going to be doing, that's one of my goals this winter. And I think that's doable.
I love that. Oh, I love that. You're gonna have to send it to me. So then I will do it. And there you go. I mean, that's part of, I think, having a friend, right? Yes. Who you're working with. I'm like, send me that. I'll do it with you. You know, but I'll forget.
Yes.
But if we say, hey, once a week, like we're going to watch this video together and maybe chat about it. How fun is that? And I think there's a lot of stuff coming back about how important community is and having friends. I mean, you and I are built-in friends because we chat a lot with the show, but it's like, yeah, let's watch that. And let's, that's free education. That doesn't cost us anything. Well, I mean, we're all members at this point or, you know what I mean? So I think that's important. So I love that. I love the idea. See, we're buddies and we'll be doing it together. I love that. The next one's be flexible.
What's that?
Yes.
Sorry, couldn't resist.
Same as everybody's laughing in their car. I feel you. We are like, what is flexibility? Like, I don't understand. But I think that that's true. You know, I think, you know, before I left home and we were riding, there was one day it was -1. And I was like, we're not riding. It's -1. We couldn't even get the horses out of the barn, you know? And I was like, you know what? We're going to do some MagnaWave and keep everybody under the heat lamps and whatever. You know, I mean, and yes, there was stuff I wanted to work on, but that just wasn't possible in my environment. I again, I'm sure there are barns where that are heated and my horses were just clipped for Florida. You know what I mean? Again, being flexible, you know, it was like, not going to happen today. But you know, we did some other things. And so I think that idea of being flexible is really, really important.
I think that's a good idea. I need to work on that.
Clearly Megan needs to work on that.
Clearly. And number three, moving on from flexible, we need to mix things up. And I have a comment on this that I didn't really think would happen, but you know my YouTube channel, and we've talked about it. Barn Besties. I have been going into other barns, and I am all dressage, and I've been great with that. And now I've really noticed how much it's motivated me, and just meeting other people of other disciplines has really inspired me, and hearing their stories and the things that they do. Also reading our book, Begin and Begin Again by Denny Emerson, yes. just hearing his amazing story has really mixed things up for me and has motivated me. I know mixed things up can also relate to exercises in the arena, but I also think getting out of the arena is important.
I agree. I mean, I think that that's so important to it's okay to mix it up. You know, it's so funny. I have a dear client and friend, you know, a couple of years ago, she comes and does virtuals and is very, very diligent about her training. But she came to me and said, you know, I think in January, maybe February, I could take a little break from lessons. And I was like, I totally get it. She's like, it's totally dark when I get to the barn. It's hard to be motivated. It's cold. I've worked a full day. I have to go find my horse. I was like, it's okay. I think it's great. Let's just take a break. And I think she was shocked that I said it. And I was like, it's fine. If you want to ride in bareback or work on your position with some friends or whatever, I think it's great, because she works really, really hard most of the year. And to take a little break for a couple of weeks is good for them. And I think it really helped her mentally and helped the horse. And they are even better in the spring. Now, do we have to work on some fitness and that kind of stuff? Sure, of course so. But you know, to take a little time off when it's really hard, it's fine. I used to do that as a kid. You know, we didn't have an indoor when I was growing up, and we mm-hmm. took a little time off in January. And my mom's like, it is fine. Now I actually take time off in July when it's so hot in Kentucky. Like most mm-hmm. of the time I don't. You need to take a little time off is where I'm going with mm-hmm. it. So I flip my year. But I take a little time in the summer, and I don't enjoy showing when it's 200 degrees, actually.
No.
Not fun. I don't find the horses have fun. I don't think the people have fun. So I think that's important. Yeah. And then the next one's understand and overcome external obstacles. The weather, you know, I mean, it, you have to just know when it's super hot, it's super cold, it's okay. You know what I mean? It doesn't, I mean, I find myself under 25, I have asthma and I struggle. Like I can't physically do it, really, mm-hmm. to be honest. It's not healthy for me, really, for my lungs. So I have to kind of just know that. And the other thing is, and they didn't mention this in this article, which was from Horse Illustrated, which is great. There are a lot of new clothing options out there. You know, heated vest, heated gloves, jackets, et cetera. And so it's worth looking into it. If you don't have it, find a friend from Canada or Megan. Megan knows, she's from Wisconsin. You know, there's a lot of good clothing options that can help, that were certainly better than when we were growing up.
Oh, yeah. The Aurora vest.
Oh, got they're my so vote. Great. They're
yeah,
so
if great. I might still be in Wisconsin if I had that sooner, but I'm out.
She's out. We're too old now.
Peace out. So number five, you are the company you keep. I think that's really important. And we talk about it with Jordan as well, you know, make friends but friends with the same values that you have. And I also, that's what I love most about California. You know, there are better riders, better horses, and it's just nice to be humbled and just to watch and enjoy.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's true. I think, but it's true. It's like, Megan, I want to do, you know, the video. I want to watch that. Or, you know, we have friends down here that, you know, we either go to Friday Night Lights, or sometimes we'll watch Clip My Horse and then go to Friday Night Lights. You know, it's so fun to just be with people and talk and, you know, look at that Piaf and look at this and all that. It's really amazing. So there's lots of ways to do that for sure. And the last one is enjoy the journey. You know that it's a journey, and whatever happens with the weather or how you're doing, just enjoy it. And it's okay to take a little break, or it's okay to, you know, Jacques Ballou, she has great books on groundwork things you can do. And there's lots of cool stuff out there. Like you said, with Barn Vesties, you get to see all of it. And I think that that's so fun. So really enjoy the journey, everybody, with whatever you're doing. And let's get this year started right. 2026. Yes. I love it. So we wish you the best on your journey. Well, drum roll, please. We have a new book club, don't we, Megan?
We sure do. From January to March, it is How to Ride the Horse You Thought You Bought by Anne Buchanan.
I know. I'm excited to start this one. This will be fun.
I think it'll be exciting because I think I could have written the book, but I need to read it first.
We'll have lots of insights. I think everyone who's purchased a horse, we're all like, yeah, here we are. So I think that's good. I love it.
I can't wait to read it.
I know. It's going to be fun. So we're excited about our book club. It was such a good, thank you guys for all your support in 2025 with the book club. Y'all, we just nailed it. I'm so proud of us. So let's keep it going because there's been great energy and it's been fun to see that program really do well. And yeah, it just makes me smile. So I'm glad we're all reading. I hope we all, it's part of our community here at the Dressage Radio Show, which again, we're so happy to be here and we're happy to be whatever you need us to be. Mentors, send us some emails. We love it. Come see us when you see us in California and Florida. Megan and I, we really love it. So please feel free. We it's why we do this show. If you're not subscribed yet, do that now. Just search for the Dressage Radio Show on your favorite podcast player. You can join the fun and supportive community, like we've been talking about, of the Horse Radio Network auditors on Patreon. You'll get behind-the-scenes insights, special offers, and opportunities to participate in Horse Radio Network podcast. Go to patreon.com/Horse Radio Network. The Dressage Radio Show Facebook page is the Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com, and my email is lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products. Keep on kicking on until the next show. Talk to you soon.